Hi, Dr. Mark back with you again talking about personality. In this video, we're going to talk about the origins of personality. In the last video, we talked about extroversion, introversion. Outside to the in, and the inside to the out. And also all the extremes between cautious to adventurous, and also looking at energy level and being task-oriented as opposed to being relationally oriented. Needing a lot of people around you as opposed to just needing solitude because people stress you out. Think about what you resonate with. To get us going into the study of personality, as far as the origins, there is a wonderful tool that psychologists and psychiatrists have been using for many years. That tool is the Multiphasic Personality Inventory, or the MMPI. The full version is called the Minnesota Multiphasic Personality Inventory, and it is a test used around the world to identify personality and psychological disorders. When I was in seminary, they administered this test to me. Fortunately, I came out okay. Now, with some people, they take the test, the inventory, and they come out with some very serious issues. But then they now know and are able to work on them. Well, the MMPI is a great tool, and Dr. Freud, of course, gives us more tools. Remember him? We talked about him earlier in the course, the sort of the history of psychology and the study of it. He, again, gives us the concepts of the id and the superego and the ego. Let's take a look. As we go from the MMPI to the psychodynamic approach, which is an approach to understanding human behavior that focuses on the role of unconscious thoughts, feelings, and memories. This great image of the iceberg gives a great analogy of what our personalities are like. There's a lot on the surface, so we think, but there's even more underneath. Just like an iceberg. As look at the id, ego, and superego. And overall, looking at the conscious mind. You see, Freud gave us these concepts. This is right in your textbook, so it's a great way to track here. The id says it's the component of personality that forms the basis of our most primitive impulses. And you can relate this to the fact of how we then look at how we understand sin and how sin, of course, is inherent in here, and may just kind of put things together here from Freud to the theology of humanity. And sin can be related to the id. Then there's the ego. And the ego is the largely conscious controller of decision or decision maker of personality, which, of course, involves the pleasure principle here in between, the desire for immediate gratification or of our sexual and aggressive urges. Yes, we have urges. And, of course, comparatively, in Scripture we know that we are created above the animals. We are made in God's image. Freud, unfortunately, did not have a biblical worldview, but he was able to give a system to help us understand what he observed and what we can understand about the human being and the patterns of behavior, hence personality. So as we go back and look at the end, the ego, the pleasure principle, we're also looking at the reality principle, which is the idea that we must delay gratification of our basic motivations until the appropriate time with the appropriate outlet and the function of the ego so that we can make informed decisions, good decisions, as opposed to bad ones. Now, the superego, in contrast, is our sense of morality and oughts. You could almost make an argument that this is kind of like, you know, again, how Freud was beginning to see about conscience and again, what how a person has a center of morality. Well, that goes right back to the fact that the heart of God, the Spirit of God, is in each person. And God created us in His image. And so we look at the dynamic here. We have the id that says, I want that right now, kind of like addiction. I want what I want when I want it. And then the ego says, well, let's figure out a way to work together here. I mean, you can't have it now, but... And the superego, of course, is saying, good people don't think about those things. We don't think about wanting everything all the time, right now, and so on. That's insanity. And there needs to be a balance. So Freud saw this. And he also saw that we have a set of defense mechanisms. So, okay, we have the general overview here of our general pattern of behavior, our general pattern of urges, how I want what I want when I want it now. It's kind of like for those of you who smoke, or you've smoked before, you can maybe remember, you know, you want the cigarette right now. Or if you had a problem with alcohol, I need a drink now. And we all know, I would assume, that wanting that next hit of the cigarette or the next drink has to do with, again, the addiction of that. Relates to the addiction cycle with frustration leading to needing to cure the pain, to medicate the pain, and then you find the substance that would then satisfy that. And it's not just about drugs and alcohol. It's about people, places, and things. And I think what Freud began to see was a lot of the origins, or a lot of the foundations, rather, of addiction, how addiction works. As we put labels on this, the id and the ego and superego. And, of course, we all know as believers, it goes back to Scripture as it talks about what sin is about, and also redemption. So I'm glad that Freud does give us a good impression of hope when it comes to the superego. He does see redemption in the human experience. But he does a lot with the id and ego as well, and then the battle. And of course, we can relate that to the battle we have every day with sin. So, defense mechanisms. Id, ego, superego, how do we make our choices? But of course, as stimuli hits us, which we talked about in previous sessions, stimuli and then responses, reactions, or thinking first and then responding, trying to reframe our situation. I would liken this concept that Freud gives us as our ability, our God-given ability to reframe things, to be able to protect ourselves, to set some boundaries, to be able to rethink and then respond. Let's take a look. Defense mechanisms. I like this cartoon here. My constant joking is a defense mechanism. My excessive laughing is a defense mechanism. And then the other says, our defense mechanisms were made for each other. Unconscious psychological strategies used to cope with anxiety and maintain a positive self-image is what we call a defense mechanism. And so what I referred to earlier about being able to reframe things and so on, or being able to stop, pause. It's also involving how we deflect others who tend to invade our space. Or we may use dry humor to deflect someone entering our space and also trying to engage us when we don't want to, or just tired and we want to, you know, go away. We need some solitude. Defense mechanisms are active and alive in the human experience. And Freud gives us a good definition of what they are. But upon looking more at defense mechanisms, we also look at conflict and conflict resolution briefly. That could be a whole other course. Defense mechanisms in the context of conflict resolution is like this. We look at first the issue of projection. Projection is disguising threatening impulses by attributing them to others. In other words, we try to throw or try to project then or place things we don't like about ourselves or our struggles onto someone else's shoulders and then pass it off. Kind of like someone, if you preach often or you speak and teach and someone may come to you and say, hey, great sermon, pastor, or great lesson, Mr. So-and-so or Ms. So-and-so or Dr. So-and-so. I really appreciate your input, but you know, I really didn't like this about what you said about this. That really was a disturber. And then you just went over the top here and they go on and on. Whoa. If they go into that kind of talk, then they're not really talking about, boy, this is how I grew, this is what I learned, this is what I benefited from, your lesson or your sermon. Rather, they are then focusing on struggles and then throwing it on you and blaming you and projecting on you, therefore, what they don't like about what they're dealing with and make it your fault. And you can, of course, put other examples here as far as projection. Other defense mechanisms, because projection is one of them, and so we can go in really into the negative side of it and as opposed to the positive side to it that I was trying to refer to earlier, and this is also involved in the positive, in where we deal with the negative and get to the place of reframing our situations. First is projection, then displacement. Displacement is diverting threatening impulses away from the source of the anxiety and toward a more acceptable source. So in other words, as we divert threatening impulses away, it can be a negative way of doing this. Also, you could say it's a positive way of doing this because you're trying to be in survival mode and trying to, again, step back, pause, divert threatening impulses away and also trying to go to a more acceptable source of support and also input and connection, where this defense mechanism can be actually a positive, a way of taking care of yourself, setting a boundary, and so on. Displacement. But it also can stay in the negative area too, where you just kind of stay stuck in your resentment or stay stuck in depression, anger, and you really don't get to a more acceptable source. Now, rationalization is another defense mechanism, as it talks about in the book. By definition, it's defined as generating self-justifying explanations for our negative behaviors. For instance, it was okay for me to be rude to those people because they had it coming. Did they? As we look at, well, how am I the problem for the biblical worldview? How am I the problem? Because I chose to sin in that moment to use my big mouth to then, of course, accost, be rude, and try to control that group of people in that situation, whatever that was. Rationalization. And we just try to rationalize. Oh, yeah, it was just, they understand, it's okay, and I don't have to worry about it. Well, then we get into the other self-defense mechanism, or defense mechanism, justification. And justification is also about that, too, just as if I didn't do that, but also another defense mechanism is reaction formation, making unacceptable motivations appear as your exact opposite. I'll say it again. Reaction formation is making unacceptable motivations appear as your exact opposite. And so, this is what we have to deal with when we deal with ourselves, when we're in denial of the wrong things we've done, trying to rationalize things. And that's, again, the negative and sinful side of defense mechanisms, along with projection, too. That also gets into that yucky area. And we realize that we're just plain wrong after the fact. As opposed to having defense mechanisms to make sure someone doesn't hurt me or get into my space because in a bad way. it can be in a positive sense, where we can hopefully tend to reframe the situation. But more often than not, as what Freud was trying to make a point here, he was trying to say, hey, most of the time we're just trying to save our own skins because we're selfish people. And as we all say as believers, we're sinners. And we need help. We need Jesus. But this is, again, giving us some more labels and understanding of what is going on, how we understand it when it comes to projection, displacement, rationalization, and reaction formation. So, other labels, other understandings of defense mechanisms. Repression and denial, which I referred to earlier. Pushing anxiety, arousing thoughts into the unconscious. I liken it to stuffing into a bottle and not getting it out. A case of the stuffits. Stuffing it into our minds and our unconscious, as what, again, Freud has been able to help us articulate what that is inside of here, inside our brains, and the mind, as the Bible, of course, identifies. And everything comes out of Scripture, mind you. All these definitions are not new. The Bible has it all in there. As we exegete out of Scripture, the concepts of psychology, sociology, and all the disciplines. Here again, denial is explained, especially in Proverbs and other places. Denial is just pretending everything is fine. When really we're freaked out, F-I-N-E, freaked out, insecure, neurotic, and emotional. And we just don't get to the issues. We pretend that they just will go away. Well, Freud saw that, and he called it repression. Denial, good terms to use. So we understand and know how to attack it, confront it. Sublimation is another one. He called it channeling unacceptable sexual or aggressive desires into acceptable activities. Sublimation. Again, channeling unacceptable sexual or aggressive desires into acceptable activities. In other words, as I interpret this, it's most likely taking unacceptable to make it into the acceptable. Sounds like sin again. Again, sublimation. Regression, retreating to an earlier, more childlike, and safer stage of development. And this label has helped many people understand why they go back to family of origin places in their minds, go back to old behaviors that they had when they were age 5 or 9 or 10, because they're trying to protect, they're trying to safeguard what's going on in the mind, in their well-being. Thanks to Freud, we can use this term to better help someone else. As we look at regression. And to touch on a couple of other items about personality and introducing the area of personality disorders. We're not getting into it in this video, but in the next video we will, and our video or two as we keep going. And when it comes to personality disorders, here's a bit of a preview. The first one relates to hysteria. Now, hysteria is defined as a set of personality and physical symptoms that include chronic pain, fainting, seizures, and paralysis. Again, hysteria is a set of personality and physical symptoms that included chronic pain, fainting, seizures, and paralysis. Now, this is not mental illness per se. This is not to say this is a mental health disorder. No. This just has to do with, again, chronic pain and so on. Things that happen because of physical and mental happening together. However, this can lead to other issues as we look at the disorders of the mind. Disorders of the brain, having to do with chemical disorders and so forth. So hysteria is a good example to get us started for the next topic on psychological disorders. But also, another important term that the book does talk about is catharsis. And catharsis is an outpouring of emotion. You probably have often said, "Ooh, that was very cathartic." This is exactly what it means. It's an outpouring of emotion. It felt good to get it out. I had the tears coming down. I had the passion come out. And sometimes you have to apologize. "Ooh, that just felt so good. Thank you for understanding. I'm so sorry. It was so intense." Personality. Origins, expressions, behavioral patterns. And now we look at the behavioral disorders. Personality disorders, to be exact, in the next lesson. Good to be with you right now. And I'm glad you're enjoying the course. God bless you. See you next video.